The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Two Pentecosts ago, the people of Christ the King Church said, "Farewell and Godspeed to our pastor, Pastor Larson." And then you gave me this gig. Now that we've seen the call committee and the congregation council's nomination for our next senior pastor, I know that my ecclesiastical and biological clock is ticking. And I take great comfort in Jesus' words today that he is going to prepare a place for us in the Father's house. It's nice to know what's coming next. I was supposed to be funny. Yet Jesus' words here are not so much about life after death. Jesus' words are about life after resurrection, specifically life for us as God's beloved children, with all God's beloved children, after Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus' words are about hope and direction for our life right now, lived as those whom the author of 1 Peter calls God's own people, lived with a purpose, lived with a vocation to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called us out of darkness into God's own marvelous light. Simply put, Jesus is telling disciples then and now, it ain't over yet. We've got work to do. In fact, Jesus says, we disciples are going to do greater works than he. Yet here is Jesus' challenge to all of us, and it's a big one. for our lives of faith, our works, to be greater than Jesus' works, we've got to live Jesus' way. I am, Jesus says, the way, the truth, and the life. So what is Jesus' way? What is Jesus' truth? What is Jesus' life? The context of Jesus saying these words, I think, helps. We're in that upper room. Jesus has just washed all the disciples, theirs and our feet. Judas has just exited stage right, initiating what Jesus declares will be his and God's glory. Glory on public display on the cross. Jesus has just informed Peter about crowing cocks and denying. It's at that intense moment that Jesus now says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." It ain't over. We've got a lot of living to do. A lot of living to do. Jesus' way. Which means foot washing, just as I have done, you do. Truth telling, even painful truth telling. You will deny me three times. Family devotion. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Beloved community, I do not call you servants anymore. I call you friends. Fearlessly speaking truth to power. You would have no power over me if it wasn't given to you from above. Radical inclusion. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And unwavering trust in God's love, affirmation, and power to crown Jesus' time of glory, Jesus' time on the cross, with a sure and certain expectation of mission accomplished. It is finished. After which, Jesus took his last unresurrected breath, and beginning 3 days later began to breathe resurrection breath, we call it the Holy Spirit, into disciples then and now, so that, joined together with the risen Christ, we actually do those greater things. You see, we've got a lot of living to do. You see, this whole Sunday gospel, particularly Jesus' self-identification as the way and the truth and the life, is nothing but good news for those who want to really live life, and who in this life strive to make this house and every house the Father's house, on earth as in heaven. Because Jesus takes his last unresurrected breath on the cross and then breathes that same Holy Spirit-filled resurrection breath into all of us disciples, we have all that we need to accomplish the mission God in Christ gives us. It ain't over yet. I'd love to conclude the sermon right here, but there's an elephant in the room. This room as well as the upper room. And some have ridden that elephant right through humanity's china shop and turned this good news for all into bad news for some. That elephant is Jesus' words. No one comes to the Father except by me. We all know how those words, lifted out of the gospel, to stand alone have been and still are being used. It's one of the issues Christ Church must deal with if we're going to do those greater things in our increasingly paralyzed and pathetic world. It's one of those issues that Christ Church must deal with in order to gather and embrace those rational skeptics in today's young and growing can-do, must-do, don't-try-to-limit-me generation. What does "no one comes to the Father except by me" mean? Is Jesus telling us that everyone else but us is unwelcome? That while it ain't over for us, it's over for them? I think that to believe and teach and proclaim that, one must ignore and deny everything else in the gospel. I think that what Jesus is saying is that to do those greater works, we must stop relying solely on ourselves, our time, and our possessions, and trust the God that Jesus trusted. Trust God as Jesus did, and ask anything in Jesus' name, expecting God to provide it, so that we who are the body of Christ in the world can accomplish all that Jesus calls us and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do, and do it Jesus' way, for the sake of the world. Because it ain't over yet. Not for the world, not for Christ Church, not for you or me, or anyone in the world. Baptized into Christ, we've got a lot of living and greater things to do. So let's ditch the elephant. Get back into that upper room, back to the Christ's table, and trust what Christ tells us, all of us disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Because Jesus doesn't just promise that. In bread and wine, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to do those greater things. In this world, everyone in this world made whole and well and strong by the work of the body of Christ. Everyone in the world can finally say, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." I think I need to have you say that one more time. Hallelujah,
Christ is risen.
Amen.